Okay. Would you all please stand for a moment and honour Pastor Wayne as he brings a word today?
Well, good morning. How are you? So good.
Very good.
Very good?
Yeah.
So good to see you. Macca's always good. Yeah, I'm ringing, aren't I? Yeah, it's going to be fixed. You can turn it down a bit. It's okay. I'll just speak louder. I've learnt that off my wife. Hey, if you're watching online, welcome. Pastor Craig will be watching at some time today in Liverpool. He's going to the final Liverpool soccer game of the year and with his dad. What an opportunity he's got to share this couple of weeks with his dad in the UK. And so, Pastor Craig, awesome. Enjoy yourself. We are praying for you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. And everybody else watching online and you here today. So good to see you. We used to have the pulpit down here. Yeah. And then Pastor Craig put it up there. And it was better down here because we could just come and look at people in the eye. And when I did that, people would get scared because they start to think, oh, I hope he hasn't got a prophetic word. Yeah, but you guys are awesome. How are you?
You're awesome.
Wonderful. Hey, great to see you. I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. You guys well?
We are getting better.
You're getting better. Who's had the dreaded lurgy, like being coughing and spluttering? It's been in our house. Oh, my goodness. It's been passed from one to the other in our house. And it's just been crazy. Yeah, the best people sit at the back. I've realized that. Yeah. You guys are awesome. I can't see that far if I stand up here, so I've got to come back and just check out all the beautiful people that are up the back. Wonderful. Well, last week, Craig started a new series and did a brilliant job with us, Pneuma, which is literally, well, pneumatology is the Greek word, if you've been to college, which is just a fancy word, a big word that pastors use we use Greek words to make us look a little bit smarter. So when we do that, or Pastor Craig does that, or Pastor Carly, and we use these Greek words, it's just so we look like we understand this stuff, when really we don't, we just looked it up in a concordance. Okay, that's the way it works. But what a great start last week as we started to talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the breath, wind, and fire. Actually sounds like a good name for a band. Breath, wind, and fire. Earth, wind. Okay, some of you people have got no idea. You've never heard of earth, wind, and fire. Anyone ever heard of earth, wind, and fire? Okay.
Bring it on, baby.
Bring it on. Yeah, good band. So we started last week and talking about the breath of God, the breath and the life of God, the Holy Spirit breathed into us that is just as important to us as, excuse me, our natural breathing. The breath of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fiery love of the Holy Spirit that burns up all the rubbish and the dross and in our life and just ignites a spark of faith in our life. And then the wind of the Holy Spirit as we look back to Pentecost, which we'll be celebrating in a few weeks' time, where that day of Pentecost where there was like these metaphors, these pictures they could only describe, but it was like tongues of fire and like a rushing wind. In other words, the Holy Spirit moved in people's lives in such a powerful and tangible way that we get to enjoy today. There's a part of our experience and our journey today with Jesus, and it's beautiful. The breath, the wind, and the fire. And so, Craig, we prayed last week, come, Holy Spirit, come as fire, come as... Excuse me. Come as wind. Come as breath. That resurrection breath of life of the Holy Spirit fill our very being, so that we overflow. And then we finish with this brilliant declaration. And so why don't we stand right now? And we're going to make this declaration right up front. And this could be dangerous because anything could happen during this meeting when we pray a declaration like this over our service and over our lives. Are you ready? Have we got it? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I am a dwelling place of God. I carry the fire. I move with the wind. I breathe with the breath of heaven. Pneuma, fire, wind, breath lives in me. We thank you for that declaration over our lives, Holy Spirit. That is the truth. The breath of God lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He is with you and he is in you. This is the promise of our lives. And so fire of the Holy Spirit, touch people's lives. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow across this people this morning as I preach this word, as I teach this word today in your name. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Amen. Amen. Ah, some water appeared. Wow. The breath, the wind, the fire, and the water. The living water has arrived. Ah, so let's turn to scriptures, to the Bible. John chapter 18. I want to move on with the next part of this series as we talk about the spirit of truth. This is the best part. Last week was a good introduction. Today is the best part. Until next week when Gary's up here, that will be the best part. Are you here? Yeah, that'll be the best part. But today is the best part. John chapter 18. Wow. Ah, I love this. This is just three scriptures to kick off today. This is where Jesus has been brought before the Roman governor, Pilate. And he's, you know, where he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, I'd have armies to fight like your armies, Pilate. But my kingdom is not of this world. And so Pilate says, you are a king then, he asks. You say that I'm a king, Jesus replied. I was born for this, and I have come into this world for this, to testify to the truth, as a living testimony, as a living witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Everyone who loves the truth, everyone who desires the truth, everyone who's hungry to know the truth listens to my voice. Beautiful. What is truth? Pilate said. Everyone say, what is truth? What is, turn to the person next to you and say, what is truth? We'll just pause and wait for a bit and see what their answer is. John chapter 14. This is Jesus responding to Thomas and the disciples. Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life, equally as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in perfect representation of the Father. Beautiful. John chapter 14, a few verses later. Verse 16, this is around the same discourse around the table, the Passover table. I will ask the Father, Jesus says, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't know him yet or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Beautiful. Wow, this is the Pentecost speaking about what's to come. I will not leave you as orphans. Literally means I will not leave you unfathered. Beautiful. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live too. In that day and in that time, where the Spirit of truth comes, where the counselor comes, where the teacher comes, where the comforter comes, where the advocate comes, all represented by that word, the counselor, when he comes, you will know that I am in my Father. You will know that you are in me and that I am in you. You will know that you will know. You'll know, your experience will be, Your new covenant life will be, your journey will be that you will know that you've come into union again with God. You've come into union, not with a religion, not with a church. You've come into union with the living God, with the living Christ. And it's absolutely beautiful. That word, counselor, in there with another counselor means literally another one just like me. It is a Greek word, parakletos. Some of you have heard it before. Thayer's Greek concordance talks about it as this: he will come to lead them into a deeper knowledge of the truth. The Spirit of truth comes you to lead you and bring you deeper and deeper into the truth that will set you free. What is truth? I guarantee a lot of people sitting here have asked that question of sometimes. What is truth? What is real? How do we know what is true? How do you measure the truth? And I'm convinced that question is as relevant today as it was back then when Pilate asked that question. As a matter of fact, it's probably more relevant because today we seem to be in this crisis of truth. There's a whole other confusion. You know, people are struggling to discern what is true. What do we believe from what we hear on the news? What do we believe anymore today? You know, this buzzword of fake news, you know, in the last 20 years, more than ever, we're hearing it more than ever. Well, that's fake news. Well, there's fake news around in Jesus' time because Pilate was fed a whole lot of fake news from the religious leaders about Jesus. So there's always been fake news. What's fact and what's fiction? What's true and what's accurate? Or what's somebody's conspiracy theory? The internet is full of them. And it's just getting crazy. The lines between truth and lie are just getting blurred so that it just leaves people confused. And that's why, one of the reasons why our world is in so much turmoil, because now we've got, well, we've got my truth and we've got your truth. And of course, my truth's always right. And because I'm up here preaching, my truth's right today. So you better believe it. My truth and your truth. And my truth trumps your truth because I know. And well, their truth, those people over at Gateway, or, you know, those the hills over there, their truth, you know, they're a bit. So truth has become subjective, culturally subjective, socially subjective, politically subjective, and just conditioned by all these echo chambers that people feed from. And I was just reading yesterday, one of the US's, one of our great New Testament scholars, just doing a whole thing on truth at the moment, because there are studies now, this is interesting, and this rocked me. It's just nuts that evangelical Christians are more likely than anyone else to engage with and spread misinformation. That is insane. Why? Well, I got some answers to that, but we're not going to talk about that today. Evangelical Christians are the most likely to engage with and spread misinformation. That's sad. Truth has become relativized, you know. That's the way I see it. Scripture's become relativized. That's the way I see it. And so what's increasingly happening is people who believe in absolutes are just thought of as crazy. You're just nuts. You're just looked on as weird. You're just arrogant. There's no absolute truth. Well, here's a couple of simple thoughts up front with this message that are so important. A world without absolutes is in big trouble. A world without absolutes is in big trouble. And that's what we're seeing happening today, particularly amongst young people who just don't know what's going on and don't know if they're Arthur or Martha, literally. People are confused. It's a whole lot of uncertainty. And so young people are asking, what is the truth? And so Pastor Craig talked last week about this silent revival happening in the UK amongst young people because there's so much confusion and turmoil that they're looking not so much to the church, but they're looking to Jesus and seeing, they're finding the truth. They're finding reality. They're finding something they can anchor their lives into. And so there's this been 40%, I think, increase in the last 10 years in church attendance in the UK from amongst young people. What is the truth? A world without absolutes is in big trouble. To say there is no absolute truth is a self-refuting statement. Because I believe my truth is there's no absolute truth. And it's just a self-refuting statement. And it's ridiculous to say there's no... Here's another one. Truth can't all be relative and subjective. Which is why people are breaking their lies against truths that are just absolutes. You try falling out of a tree and going up. It just doesn't happen. Gravity is an absolute. And God has put physical and moral and spiritual and natural laws in place that are just absolutes. And we can go on breaking our lives against them and reaping the consequences of that, or we can understand that God has put principles and truths in place that are immovable in our lives. And see, when you live in this world without absolutes and clear truth, you are just left with confusion, turmoil, uncertainty, fear, and ultimately anarchy, and we're seeing bits of that happening throughout the world. And it's just crazy, crazy. And the last one, and this is most important, like it or not, Jesus made absolute truth statements. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father, no one comes to God except through me. These are absolute truth statements. John chapter 8, verse 31, he says this, Jesus said to the Jews who had now believed him, if you continue in my word, and you really are, then you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My word is the absolute truth. Why? Because he is God incarnate. Yep. And he loves us, and he's wanting us to walk in the way of the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will no longer be enslaved to a world full of lies, a world full of fake news or half-truths or whatever. You will know the truth. And you will live a life of freedom, filled with peace and filled with joy. Absolute truth. So everyone say, absolutely. Absolutely. This is what we need. And this brings me to this. This is so important. And if you hear nothing else today, you need to hear this. Before anything else, before this beautiful, wonderful, incredible Bible, Word of God, before anything else, you need to know, if you want to make sense of this, if you want to make sense particularly of the Old Testament, you need to know that Jesus is truth. Before a book, before anything else, from time from the beginning of time till the end of time, truth is a person. Amen. Truth is a person, yep. And his name is Jesus. And he is the truth about God. Yep. As the Son of Man, he's the truth about you. He's the truth about life, and he's the truth about the future. Beautiful. We need to know that. He declares it. He is the truth. A few years ago, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, many of you remember Doug Cunningham, a wonderful friend who passed away at 102 years of age. There he is. I remember taking Doug into Newcastle to Rema FM to do an interview. I mean, this guy's life is incredibly interesting. I mean, it's more than interesting. This guy lived a life. And so Rema FM wanted to interview him and ask him about some of the journey. So we go into Newcastle West there. And at that stage, Life Church, which is now pastored by Rick Prosser in Newcastle, and Soul Cafe, were in the same building as Rema FM, and Pastor Kevin Wilcock was the pastor. So we arrived in there early and saw Kevy, and he was in there, and he invited us in. You're here early, come and have a cup of coffee. So we did. I sat downstairs, cup of coffee, said, hey, Kev, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm reading a book on the life of Gandhi. He said, it's so good. And he brought the book out and showed me, and just then, In that moment, Doug pipes up and said, "Oh, I met him." Well, my jaw dropped to the floor and Kevin's jaw dropped to the floor. He said, "You met him?" He said, "Yeah, I was in the British forces in India and I was actually in the arresting party that arrested Gandhi." Another jaw drop. So, Kevin, what does he do? He puts his book down and he says, "Tell me, you know him. You were there. You met him. You're familiar with the story. Why don't you tell me?" And so he did. For the next 10 or 15 minutes while we were waiting to go upstairs to Rima FM, told him the story because he had first-hand experience. This is the journey of Christian life. We're meant to know Scripture. We're meant to love Scripture and read Scripture, but we're meant to be the ones who have had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We're meant to be the ones who have had first-hand experience. We're meant to be the ones who can actually tell the story because we know him. We're meant to be the ones in our witness who can relate the story to the world, not just quote some scriptures to them out of the Bible, but we can relate the story because it's real to us, because we've been there. Yeah, awesome. And we know him.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. The Bible is never a replacement for being there. I love it. This season of my life, I'm studying the Word of God more than ever. And I love it. And it's just this time of semi-retirement, I've got more time to be able to do that. But nothing about Christianity is a secondhand story. We get to have a relationship with Jesus, who is the person of truth. He is truth, and he is the way. And in John chapter 1, we read here it tells us here, the beginning. Have we got this on the screen? John chapter 1, I don't know if I sent it through even. No? Yes? Maybe? There it is. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, the Logos. It's Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. Apart from him, not one thing was created that's been created. Life was in him. And that life was the light of men. That Word became flesh. That Word is a person. That Word, his name is Jesus, the living God. That Word is the one that wants to fill our very being. That Word is the way and the truth and the life. He's a person. And his name is Jesus. I love this. I heard this years ago. I don't know where it came from. The Word of God is inspired. The Word of God is inerrant. The Word of God is infallible. And when he was about 18 years of age, he grew a beard. Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
He's the truth about God. And so when you read the Old Testament, you see things that don't seem to line up with Jesus. You can then ask the question, what's going on here? Because God is exactly like Jesus. He's the truth about you. He shows you, he's demonstrating to the disciples and to you how to live life to the full in a relationship with the Father. How to live life back in the garden again. And it's beautiful. And he's showing us the way, always showing us the way to live. C.S. Lewis said this, there's two quotes on the screen here for you. I love it is Christ himself, not the Bible, who is the true Word of the God. The Bible, importantly, but read in the right spirit with the Holy Spirit and with the guidance of good teachers, will bring us to him. The Bible is pointing us to him. Our relationship is not with a book. Our relationship is with a person. The living Christ. Sean McDowell, Josh McDowell's son, Dr. Sean McDowell, great Bible teacher. There is a key fact that makes Christianity distinct from all the other world's religions, from every religion. Christianity does not present truth merely as an abstract idea, but as a person who can be known.
Beautiful.
This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Truth can only ever truly come alive in us, become a reality in our life, become our experience when we have a relationship, when we come into union with the person, with Jesus, the person of Christ. We're in communion with him, when we abide with him. This is meant to be our normal. So many people are trying to read the Bible and do the right thing, and we should read the Bible. But when we have a relationship with the person of truth, his very nature infuses our being.
Right.
And we're transformed. And we're changed by the truth so that we become like him. As we see him, the more we see him, the more we become like him, the more we abide in him, the more we spend time with him, the more we gaze upon his beauty, the more we become like him, and our nature changes. The way of life becomes so clear to us. The substance of the Christian life, I wrote this down the other day, the substance of Christian life, life in the Spirit, is to enter into union with Christ. And that is union with truth and union with reality. In union with Christ, you discover what it is to be fully human. People are struggling with our identity, insecure. But when we spend time with Christ, when we come into union with him, we come into union with truth and we come into union with what is actually real about life and our way of life. Evelyn Underhill, in the early part of the last century, is just a spirit-filled writer and teacher and mystic, and maybe scared of that word. These Christian mystics were people that just locked themselves away with God, in the presence of God, and prayers. They were intercessors and heard from God. She wrote this, and this language, I've got two quotes here for you, but this language is sort of old language, and sometimes it's hard to get our head around. It's like reading old poetry or reading Shakespeare or something. The language is different, but there's beauty in it. It's absolutely beautiful. She's writing about union, and so she makes this statement, we know a thing only by uniting with it. We know the truth only by uniting with it, only by coming into union with it, by assimilating it, by an interpenetration of it and ourselves. It gives itself to us just insofar as we give ourselves to it. Truth will give itself to us, the spirit of truth, the word of truth. It's an interpenetration into our lives when we give ourselves to it. But because our outflow towards things is usually so perfunctory. I didn't know what that meant. It means casual. I put that in brackets. Casual. We're just so casual and so languid. Well, what does that mean? It means lethargic or half-hearted. That our comprehension of things is so perfunctory and languid too. And then she's, keep going, next page. Wisdom, which is truth in action, which is truth applied in our life, truth actually functioning in our lives, is the fruit of communion with Jesus. Ignorance, the inevitable portion of those who keep themselves to themselves and stand apart, just judging, analyzing the things which they have never truly known. Well, this is my truth and that's your truth. And well, I don't see truth the way you see it, because ego's in play, self's in play. But when we give ourselves to the one who is truth, we begin to understand the way, the truth, and the life. And we come alive. It's just about uniting ourselves to Christ. Here's another one, John of Rosbach, this is going back into the 1300s. This guy was an Augustine minister in the area of what we would call now the Netherlands. He was a revivalist, part of a catalyst in revival in that whole area way back in the 1300s. And he writes this. He was a prayer warrior too. When love has carried us above and beyond all things, all the turmoil, all the confusion, all the fake news, all the lies, all the news we're watching, all above that, above the light of this world, into the divine, literally into that place of mystery in Christ, that place of rest in Christ, there we are wrought, literally fashioned, we are shaped. We are wrought and transformed by the eternal word, Jesus, who is the image of the Father. And just as the air is penetrated by the Son, thus we receive in our idleness, in that place of rest of the Spirit, the incomprehensible light of God enfolding us and penetrating us. Wow, these guys knew. These guys had incredible caught in the Spirit. And this flight is nothing else but an infinite gazing and seeing, taking time to gaze and see, taking time to look upon his beauty, taking time to appreciate the beauty of God. We become that which we are in this place. It's in this place. We become that which we truly are. We become truly human. And we are that which we behold. We become that which we behold. When we see him, we become like him. Because now our thoughts and our life are being uplifted in simplicity. This is so easy. And made one with the truth, which is God. Beautiful. And I know they're big words. And I know for some people, they probably that's a bit airy-fairy. No, it's not. This is life in the Spirit. This is how we're meant to live out our Christian life. This, his love carries us above the turmoil. I love that. His love carries us above the confusion and the hate and the hurt and the brokenness and all the lies. Carries us above it all, and we just gaze and see. We're actually gazing. When we gaze at the truth, we're gazing at reality. Gazing upon his beauty, the one who is love. And we just get to breathe when we take time, when we take time out, when we're just prepared. And I struggle with this more than anyone, just taking extended periods of time where I can just sit and wait and gaze and listen and breathe again in the atmosphere of perfect love. Just breathe in his love. Breathe in his love that burns up every fear. And it's in that place of his love, his fiery love, begins to burn up all that wood, hay, and stubble that Paul talks about to the Corinthian church. Burns it all up in our lives. All that thing, those things that are costing us, all that rubbish in our life, all that sin and failure and fear and insecurity and shame, burns it all up. And all we're left with is the truth that sets us free and comes alive in us. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Union with Jesus. It's John chapter 17. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Coming into union with the triune God. Living in relational life with Jesus. Not on Sunday. It's great. Every day. Every moment of every day. Wherever we are. Shopping centre, school, work. We're conscious of his presence. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes this so easy. And makes it so simple in our lives. I'll send you another one. I'll ask the Father. I'll send you another one, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Helper, the Teacher, the one just like me, the Spirit of Truth. You won't be unfathered. You'll know the Father. Beautiful. And you'll know that I'm in the Father, that you're in me and I'm in you. You'll know this relationship that we have with God will be very real to us. Be intimate. It'll be personal. And he'll awaken us in that place. The Holy Spirit awakens us, not just to the truth, but awakens us to the Father's love. Abba, our Father. He awakens us to our sonship and our daughtership as children of God. He awakens us to that so that it becomes real and personal and precious. He empowers us to live out the way of Jesus as those who are called to follow Christ, to take up the cross and follow in his cruciform way, which I've taught about here before many times, follow in his cruciform way, which is a cross-shaped life. To take up his cross means to live a cross-shaped life. And Jesus demonstrated that at every turn. That's the way we're meant to live. I love it. John 16, we haven't got it on the screen, but he says it's to your advantage that I go. Because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Teacher. He's going to teach you and lead you into all truth. It's to your advantage. We live in the time of greatest advantage. What I wish I was there with the disciples. No, it's to your advantage, he said to the disciples, that I go. Because when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to fill you with another one who's just like me, who is the way, the truth, and the life, just as I am. And your lives are going to be transformed and changed. Thank you, Jesus. We live in a time of advantage where we have the Holy Spirit who's imprinting the nature of our Father onto our very being. Fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so our lives, as that happens, as we allow the nature of God to be imprinted onto our very beings and the truth to be imprinted in our very lives, we begin to live according to the truth. We begin to live according to the way. We begin to live the life that we're called and always designed and always created to function in. And so we become living invitations because people see something different and beautiful and profound and incredible and supernatural happening in our lives. And they go on in. Often not what they see in the church. We're nearly done. We're nearly done. You okay?
Yeah.
John 14, one verse. It says this, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name. He will teach you all things. As you read the word, he's the one that's actually going to bring that alive in you and teach you and remind you of everything that I told you. He's going to remind you of everything Jesus taught the disciples. He's going to be reminding you of these same truths so we can follow in his way. John chapter 16, verse 12, last verse for today. I still have many more things to say to you, tell you, disciples. This is that same conversational time around the table. But you can't handle it right now. You can't bear it right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not only going to just be with you, he's going to fill your very being. He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak. Everyone say speak. Here we go. My sheep know my voice. How's he going to guide you? This is why so many people struggle. I can't hear the voice of God. I can't. What's going on? He will not speak on his own. He will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. And let me tell you, it will always be good. In doing that, he'll glorify me because he'll take from what is mine, Jesus says, and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. Wow, this is why I told you that he'll take from my everything and declare it to you and deposit it into your life, deposit it into your spirit, deposit it into your heart so you've got a heart filled with peace and life and joy. He'll deposit it into your marriage. He'll deposit it into your career. He'll deposit it into your finance. If we'll just take time to hear, because everything the Holy Spirit wants to breathe into our life comes by being attentive to his voice, because he speaks. He's a person. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's not that. He's the person of God. Comes to fill our very lives. So as we finish this morning, I just wonder, in light of everything that I've said this morning, I know some of you have been bound up by lies. You believe lies. You've had lies spoken over you. Maybe there's been lies coming back to family. Been caught up in lies somewhere along the line. There's just turmoil in your life. You can't seem to just get clarity and see the truth. I want to finish by letting the Holy Spirit have the final say. Now, it's right about this time that everyone sees a couple of musos come up here. Let me say we're about to finish. A few people will go, yeah, get my phone. I might be time to go to the toilet. Might be time to tune out. It might be time to go now. Makes this sort of thing sometimes makes people a little bit comfortable because we're uncomfortable. Because you're afraid that I'm going to ask you to do something that might embarrass you, but I'm not, trust me. I just want you to sit and pause and take a breath right now. And I just want to allow his love to carry us above all the turmoil, all the confusion, all the lies, all the hurt, all the brokenness, all the noise. My goodness, the noise, the lies above it all. And I just want to, in these last few moments, for you to take time to gaze and to see. To see the truth, to gaze upon his beauty. I want you just to take these last 5 minutes just to breathe again the fresh breath of his perfect love. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit as every eye is closed right now. Holy Spirit, would you reveal lies people have been believing? As we pause, would you reveal lies that have been robbing people of the fullness of life and causing people to have no clarity when it comes to the way of life, have no clarity when it comes to understanding that you are a good, good God, you're a good, good Father, have no clarity to understanding even why they're alive, their purpose, their future. Some of you have been believing lies about God. You've been believing lies about yourselves. You've been believing lies about other people. You've been believing lies about your circumstances. You've been believing lies about the future. I just want to allow a moment the Holy Spirit to reveal those to you and just surrender them. Just surrender them. And Holy Spirit, I thank you now that you're just here. I don't have to call you down or anything. You're here. Holy Spirit, you're right here. Speak truth over people's lives. Let every lie in this precious moment be revealed, come to the surface. Holy Spirit, as you speak the heart of the Father, what you're hearing from the Father, I pray you would speak it into people's hearts and lives right now. Truth come alive. I declare and I speak, truth come alive. Truth come alive in you. Truth come alive in your family. Truth come alive in your circumstances. Truth come alive for your future. The truth is setting you free right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Truth is setting it free. 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 Truth is setting you free in Jesus' name. The truth is setting you free in Jesus' name. The truth is setting you free in Jesus' name. Be free in the name of Jesus. The truth is setting you free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Because speak freedom over you. In the name of Jesus, the truth is setting you free. The truth is setting you free. The truth is setting you free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The truth is setting you free. Be free in the name of Jesus. The truth is setting you free, Haley. Haley, oh, I love you, Haley. You're awesome. Ah, I see the Father's heart towards you because I got a Father's heart. You are amazing. You are beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. The truth is setting you free. Truth is setting you free. Be free in Jesus' name. 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 Truth is a person, not a concept, not an abstract idea. The truth is a person. And it's absolutely true. He is absolutely true. He is an absolute in our lives. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for you releasing freedom over people's lives this week as they spend time with you and gaze upon your beauty, as they gaze into your word, your written word. But as they open their hearts to spend time with you, that freedom will come into marriages this week. Freedom will come into financial situations this week as, Holy Spirit, you download wisdom into people's lives. Wisdom will come and truth will become active in circumstances. That we will, at Gateway Church, be a truly a liberated people. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, guys. We love you. I love you. We love you, but I love you. I love this church. I love you. I love looking, as I said earlier on, I love looking at your faces and seeing your beautiful faces. You're amazing. Have a great day. We're going to invite our prayer team to come right now. And I know this word has spoken to some people, and you have been bound up, and where's the rest of our prayer team? They're coming. You've been bound up and struggling with lies, sometimes lies that have been spoken over your life. Why don't you come and respond and get free this morning once and for all? Maybe God's already, the Holy Spirit's already done that work in your life, and I know He has for some people, but if you're still struggling, come and get some prayer this morning. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you tonight, 5 p.m. for our encounter service, and we'll go to a whole new level.